Coming Out in Middle School by Benoit Demisey-Lewis, an excerpt from the New York Times Magazine. Austin didn't know what to wear to his first gay dance last spring at the Open Arms Youth Project in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It was bad enough that the gangly 13-year-old had to go without his boyfriend, a 14-year-old star athlete at another middle school, but there were also laundry issues. "I don't have any clean clothes," he complained. When I met him an hour later, he had weathered his wardrobe crisis, but was still a nervous wreck. "I'm kind of scared," he confessed. "Who am I going to talk to? I wish my boyfriend could come." But his boyfriend couldn't find anyone to give him a ride, nor, Austin explained, could his boyfriend ask his father for one. His dad would give him up for adoption if he knew he was gay. "I'm serious. He has the strictest, scariest dad ever. He has to date girls and act all tough so that people won't suspect." Austin doesn't have to play the pretend game, as he calls it, anymore. At his middle school, he has come out to his close friends who have been supportive. A few of his female friends responded that they were bisexual. He hadn't planned on coming out to his mom yet, but she found out a week before the dance. "I told my cousin. My cousin told this other girl. She told her mother. Her mother told my mom, and then my mom told me. The only person who really has a problem with it is my sister, who keeps saying, 'It's just a phase. It's just a phase.'" "I definitely lost some friends," he said, "but no one really made fun of me or called me names, probably because I was one of the most popular kids when I came out. I don't think I would have come out if I wasn't popular. When I first realized I was gay, I just assumed I would hide it and be miserable for the rest of my life. But then I said, 'Wait, I don't want to hide this and be miserable for my whole life.'" I asked him how old he was when he made that decision. 11, he said.
So many of us have known people like Austin in our reading who took their courage into their hands and came out. Some of them are in this very room. Who made the decision to move from hiding and being miserable to stepping out into society as their full selves. Who chose to let the world know their sexual orientation or identity, thus choosing to live in a world with more danger in it than straight people can know. Sometimes the danger is just losing some friends, which is a consequence Austin seems to accept as a matter of course if you're going to tell the world you're gay. Sometimes the danger is just losing your family, being disowned. And sometimes the danger is just being fired from the job that you need in order to live. Sometimes the danger is just that you will have to listen to cruel and stupid jokes about who you are when in the company of people who assume that everyone in their hearing is straight. And sometimes the danger is that you will be hurt or killed. I recall once talking to my older cousin Tom 40-some years ago. He was in the Navy, and he spoke matter-of-factly about what happened when a man asked him for sexual favors. Tom punched him in the face and knocked him down, and we all thought that that was just fine, that that was just part of how the world was. Now, that was decades ago, sure. But violence against sexual minorities is hardly unknown in the world today. The most recent diversity newspaper, edited by a member of our congregation, has a letter about Jamaica, which appears to be a hotbed of accepted violence against gays. Here's what the diversity paper says. "Since 1997, Amnesty International has recorded the murders of at least 35 gay men on the island. 32 incidents of mob violence directed against LGBT people have been recorded in the last 18 months alone. In many cases, the murders were followed by crowd celebrations around mutilated bodies. That such things could be happening in the 20th and the 21st centuries makes us heartsick. But homophobia shows up in subtler ways too. When we entered the Welcoming Congregation program 10 years ago, a few of our members and friends were concerned, afraid we would be seen as too radical or become a gay church where men hold hands in public. Fortunately, we went ahead. We have all learned much, and we are practicing in this area our commitment to human rights. We in the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, otherwise known as BOOF, are proud to be a safe home for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer-identified people. We affirm the worth and dignity of every single person, and we support sexual minorities coming out of the closet into full, equal, matter-of-fact participation in society. An interesting sidelight, before the 1950s, the term coming out meant emerging into full participation into the safety of the gay community, not society at large. And after the 1960s, and particularly the Stonewall riots in New York in 69, the movement for full rights for LGBTQ citizens began, and coming out meant then, as it does now, declaring oneself an unashamed sexual minority deserving no less and no more than what the majority receives. Today is Coming Out Day for the LGBTQ community, and we celebrate. At the same time, I would like to explore some other comings out suffered by people in other minority groups. Other groups who, like gays, do not wear their minority status in the color of their skin or the degree of their ability or their foreign language. Coming out as a sexual minority can be an incredibly difficult human process, and so can emerging from other closets. As a church community, we in the mainstream owe it to ourselves, to our higher powers, and to each other to encourage all people to declare themselves in their full, glorious humanity. We owe it to ourselves, to our higher powers, and each other's to be sensitive to those who are different from us and be most slow to judgment. An emergence that's very difficult for people is a change of religious outlook, especially if we're moving out of the faith of our growing up years into another one. One of our chalice circles is supporting a woman leaving the religion of her entire large family. She is suffering abuse, shunning, and well-meaning endeavors to persuade her that it is just a phase. She knows where her heart is leading her. She may have to leave part of it behind. She very much needs loving support. We can handle this kind of coming out pretty well. How well do we handle the emergence of what we may see as a move toward more conservative faith? I will make a bet that there are more folks in this congregation than we know about who find inspiration and guidance in some of the practices and beliefs of their original religious traditions, conservative religions, traditions to which some you use feel themselves superior. I'll tell you for a fact that many of these people would rather admit to you unusual sexual practices than the fact that they pray. If we are to be a true liberal religious community, we simply must accept all paths to the holy, even if they activate the wounds we received as a child, or even if we believe that such faith is mere superstition. Those wounds and those beliefs are our responsibility, not to be projected upon our fellow travelers who allow the good from their past to lead them forward into love and service. A trailblazer in true religious and philosophical tolerance is Jeanette Ross of our congregation. She's a leading light in the humanist group that meets once a month in this building. That group has the most atheists per capita than any other group in the church. She encourages broad-ranging conversation about terminology and about non-supernaturalism and ethics and all kinds of other topics. Jeanette is also a leading light in Church Women United, a group that describes itself, and this is from its website, a national volunteer Christian ecumenical women's movement that brings together women of diverse races, cultures, and traditions in closer Christian fellowship, prayer, advocacy, and action for peace and justice in the world. Jeanette's view is large enough to embrace the good in a very broad range of religion and philosophy, and she never rolls her eyes or huffs in a superior way at another person's beliefs. I wish we all acted like Jeanette. There are other areas of closeting. As I talk about the next one, reflect on your own private self and see if you have any. Perhaps the most serious area of accepting others coming out, in addition to the affirming of sexual minorities' full rights, is in the area of mental health. Lots and lots and lots of people everywhere are on medication for one psychological condition or another, many with serious diagnoses like bipolarity or schizophrenia. Some aren't on medication. In any case, folks with mental health issues are often really reluctant to come out in a community for fear that they will be treated differently. So they labor in the closet under the same pain that our LGBTQ friends do. They struggle to be mainstream, hiding deeply important parts of themselves. Sometimes they act differently from other people, and sometimes are labeled weird, or shunned, or whispered about. When the labelers and the shunners and the whisperers could be opening their hearts, knowing that each of us has his or her own soul struggles. I asked you if you have a closet, a private place you don't share with your community because you don't feel safe, because sharing your minority self makes you feel vulnerable. There are several Alcoholics Anonymous members in our congregation, including me, and most of us are completely out, but not everyone. For some people, who we are, remembering the shame and the pain of our active alcoholism feels too dangerous for them to share. We have members and friends hiding the learned shame of childhood sexual abuse. People struggling with infidelity and other intimate relationship issues. I personally have stayed at least partly in the closet about what we in my family fondly call my woo-woo activities. UUs have a historical tendency to value the intellectual over the spiritual and the emotional, and I have a very, very active spiritual, and emotional life. I record, discuss, and analyze my dreams. I receive acupuncture and energy work. I can write active imagination journals that leave me worn out with soul-deep agonies and ecstasies. In my normal, walking around, regular waking life, I am quite capable of intense psychic imaginings like waking dreams from which I derive inspiration and comfort. And when you're talking with me, it might be happening right then. I sometimes feel completely surrounded by a psychic fire that upholds me and calls me to account. As I share these things with you, which is, I suppose, a way of coming out, I feel that prickle of discomfort, having known many sneers and supposed jokes in this area. I tumble into wanting to talk really fast to justify myself, desperately mentioning that I have 2 master's degrees, and really, and one of them is from Stanford, and I do read a lot of books, and even Professor Elton Hall doesn't disapprove of me. I am getting better at just letting you know who I am. It's partly because I'm more comfortable, and also, what are you going to do, fire me after 22 years? Probably not. More importantly, I'm more comfortable because we, as a congregation, have actually gotten a lot better at accepting the minority status of our traveling companions. We seldom sneer at others. We tend to move toward the weird person, some of us anyway, rather than rush into the other room to gossip. We respect people with the strength and the courage to practice 12-step programs. Lots of us are genuinely okay with all paths to the holy, not just the ones that we can think about. And we hardly even notice these days if a person is lesbian or gay or transgender. When we act in this accepting way, we come out of our usually unconscious closets of majoritarianism. We take the courageous steps toward genuinely embracing the different minority, even if, especially if, we recognize prejudice within ourselves. We find that little closet within our own hearts and souls, the part that feels it will be dangerous to be our true selves, and we can reach out to others because we know that they have it too. Coming out is risky, yes, but it does make love more likely. And once we've done that, we're in a position to really go out in the world and make a difference. The folks who face daily inconvenience, disrespect, and danger need us to come out of our silence. Now that we have taken a peek at our own minority, can we grow our hearts into feeling responsible for those who are on the receiving end of injustice every single day? You don't have to worry much about prejudice against yourself if you're a closeted member of Alcoholics Anonymous. But your brother or sister suffering mental health problems may face that prejudice, and you can help. You can examine yourself and then move to befriend the bipolar or schizophrenic person who makes you a little uncomfortable. You can support the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. You can speak out about the importance of honoring all human ways of being, including those who struggle with mental illness. And you can be part of a religious community devoted to acceptance. I don't face societal persecution because of my woo-woo spiritual life. But my LGBTQ sisters and brothers do, just because of their plain old lives. So I can support this church's welcoming congregation. I can come out of silence and work with them toward full human rights. I can join the thousands who march happily in the Pride Parade, including dozens last year from this congregation. And I can speak out clearly and confidently and passionately, declaring that it is not okay to deny people the normal life that most of us take for granted. Most of us have little or big closets in which we keep our skeletons, things that we find hard to share. Understanding that, we can embrace our fellow human beings who suffer because of theirs. And most of us have chosen closets, closets of silence and passivity. We would rather stay in those than step forward boldly in support of systemic justice for minorities with whom we need to be in solidarity. Let's open those doors, okay? Let's look around at our neighbors here in this place where our souls may be nurtured to courage. And then let us speak up loudly and clearly.